Hi there, Ife George here. Welcome to another episode of the Illimitable You podcast, where you engage with conversations that will renew and transform your mind until you know for sure that nothing is impossible and therefore you are limitless.
Today I have with me my friend, Maiwa. Welcome, Maiwa.
So good to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Great. And it's so good to see you again. I remember that the last time we had this kind of thing, was it 2 years ago now?
Yeah,
that was the last time we had this kind of conversation. And this start over conversation is one I figure it's about time, you know, that I am able to speak to this. I know that 2 years ago, I felt like I was ready to speak to it after coming to the UK, you know, but I feel like I'm even more ready, right? And I thought, what other person to speak about starting over in a new country with than yourself, right? So yeah, welcome. And I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yay. And I wanted to ask, is that another book? Sounds like a book title.
Well, it's not a book. I think.
Start over, sounding like a book title. Like a
well,
series.
Maybe. If maybe that's a nudge. Maybe that's a nudge. Maybe I want to consider it. But yeah, at the moment, it will be my podcast series for this period. Great. So, Maiwa, you want to tell me, you know, I know you've been in Dubai for what now?
4 years.
4 years. That's similar. How's that been?
Intense. Exciting. Challenging. In the sense that you've just got to grow. And I think that's for everyone who's got to start over somewhere, especially when you talk about relocation, starting a career, starting a business. You've got to grow. And growth as an adult, I don't think it's as easy as growth as a young adult or a teenager.
Right. You know?
So it's all of those, but I wouldn't change a thing.
Right. I mean, I like the end of that. I wouldn't change a thing, because I also reckon it's possible that we hold on to the idea that, you know, life is tough or adulthood is calm. But I also understand.
There was the headline, but mine.
You know, I mean, I would say every time that it's not scam, right? Because I feel that the extent of knowledge that you have by time will define how much you express, you know, or how well you interpret issues. And the same way, in adversity, the extent of your strength will determine how tough, you know, how resilient you will be. You know, so yeah, it's not scam, depending on who's talking. And depending on who is interpreting, if you see what I mean.
Another part, you talked about strength.
Yeah.
I think that's a big chunk of it.
Mm.
Strength of character, strength of values, strength of integrity, strength of your mind, strength in different ways. Because adults really that season where everything is tested, what you believe is tested.
Right.
How your character is tested.
Right.
And that's a huge chunk of it. I feel like for me, one of the reasons why I would never see adulthood as a scam is because I saw my parents go through life.
Mm.
I don't know if maybe people will say adulthood is a scam. We're expecting a bed of roses. They're expecting the adults make money, have all the money in the world. Your life is all figured out.
Yeah.
I never for once thought it was that. I saw my parents figure it out when all the school fees is complete, when the school fees is not complete. It is what to do, what other business, when there's plenty food in the house, when you don't have plenty food in the house. Just seeing all of that, I think I was in a way unconsciously assimilating that.
So,
well, this is what life looks like. You get in the trenches and you make it happen. You keep going. I don't think I was expecting a bed of roses. I still think that maybe it would have been nice to, as a younger adult, to have been sat down to say, listen, this, especially when you're entering that marriage phase.
Yeah.
And kids, you know, like, funny story, last week or so, my kids started wearing a uniform and took it to a whole new level in my head. Like, oh my God, somebody that came out of me is wearing a uniform. It wasn't real before. Like, that was the ultimate, my, you're full-blown adults now. Like, you're like your mother.
Right.
And I remember how when I was in primary school, when I'm going to school, especially exam time, I'll kneel down in front of my mother and say, pray for me. I say, with that prayer, that will make me pass that exam. So that mother, child, you give me prayer, so I'm going to.
Yeah.
My child in a uniform was like, my, you are your mother now. But yeah, like, strength is a huge part of it.
It is.
And people have to build that before they get to the place. You cannot prepare for the day of battle. You prepare before
the day. Absolutely. I mean, I like when you mentioned the word intense, because I figured that's what it is, really. I remember coming to the UK. I had the idea that I'll just set up business like I did in Nigeria. You know, no issues. You know, my guys in Nigeria are looking forward. You know, everybody just goes, oh, our boss is going to the UK now. So, yeah, we have a UK branch before we know what's going on. And then I get here, have another event in Nigeria 3 months later. I go back from the UK, go to Nigeria, get my events done, bring my kids over. And as we land, there's lockdown the next week, right? And so instantly, business is shut down. My industry shut down. That meant that the dream to set up a new business automatically shut down. Right? That was the beginning of my own test.
And you know, it was really bad in the UK compared to everywhere.
Yes, it was.
And Dubai.
Yes, it was. So that was the beginning of my own test, right? If I wanted to allude to the idea that adulthood was calm, that's the period I would have kept, you know, knowing fully well that without any form of expression that could bring in resources as a person, that was the defining moment. Would I be able to create something else? You know, what was I even good for? Right. But I think that in adversity, you either gain strength or use strength or you strain. It's one of the two. When you're stretched, it's either strength or strain, one of the two. But one will happen. Right. Yeah. And in the moment, I had to decide that it wasn't strained. Right. I couldn't be strained, because at the end of the strain will mean that I didn't achieve anything worthwhile. I didn't achieve what I intended initially that seemed threatened already, and I didn't create anything new. And so it had to be strength. So to strength, I turned. But what did I know? It was that point I figured there were actually things I didn't know is why I was the way that I was. And then I started to learn. Now, I was going to use that to ask a question. When you moved over, was there any time when you figured, you know what, I don't think I know everything I need to know and I need to learn stuff?
I think that happened this year. That was this year for me when my husband and I, we co-founded a company, and it wasn't until like late last year into this year that we really focused on it.
Right.
We focused on this, building a company. And that's when I realized, listen, to have a company, to build a company, to, it's a lot. So that's where I felt like, now you need to learn something new. You need to figure out how to get clients, how to create an offer, how to escape, not even escape, how to manage the rat race and at the same time build a company. Because you to be making money for your daily and whatever, and also make money to put into the company to make it grow. You need to hire, you know, even if it's freelance designer, they're going to collect money.
Yeah.
So balancing all of that and just being in that headspace of, you need to build a company, you need to make it grow. That was the time where I hit that, we need to grow again. We need to learn something new. This one I don't know anything about. I have to figure it out.
I mean, in my case, it was a total mind overhaul for me, because I figured that what I thought I knew had been exhausted with things I did. And for anything new, I didn't know anything. I realized I even realized fears that I didn't know that I had, you know, at the time when I started this journey of awareness. I realized fears I didn't know I had. I didn't realize how much I had been dancing around with the fear of rejection. And it was then that it started to occur to me that even the times when I shot myself in the foot with the way I built back in the day my business was because of that rejection, right? I remembered that I'll give a price for a service that I knew wasn't adequate, but because I didn't want to lose the client, I would go through with it. And then I'll go through with it and start to try to figure it out afterwards, just because I didn't want to lose the client. I mean, it was at that point I knew that there were multiple kinds of fears. I picked up a book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, Suzanne Jeffers. That was the beginning of everything. When I read that book and I started to see different things that seemed like me, then I knew there was a problem. I knew that the reason I found myself in that position where one thing shut down and it just seemed like there was nothing else that could open up was because of the state of my mind and my belief system. It was nothing to do with anything else apart from that. Because prior to the time, I had a great family growing up. I had parents that knew that you should prepare yourself, you know, to be the best that you can. You should sharpen skills in every area that you find yourself, you know, having or expressing giftings. But those were things I didn't particularly pay attention to because I figured it out. I had a business and that was all I wanted to do. Then I got here and now I need to, you know, express myself differently from the business because that shut down. I found out that I'm stuck. And then I started to learn and I find out that the being stuck was actually a mindset. But that's where it all started from. Changing how I thought. And I think my journey began from there. I mean, the journey is beautifully burdened, you know, at the moment, but it began from there. I know that in every relocation, for example, there are those cultural differences. You mentioned rat race. I knew that when we got here, the actual rat race we spoke about back in the day, it was here that it happened. And so there were many things that I saw that I knew that if I engaged in these things, this was the real rat race that I was going to get myself into. And so the need for knowledge was screaming at me every single moment and every single turn. You know the way you say you have to learn for a business, the way you say you have to keep the business running, you have to, you know, learn to market to get clients into the business, all of that. Those were things I couldn't even venture into in that moment because I couldn't. I couldn't because is it the tax system you want to talk about? Is it the business processes you want to talk about? Is it even the way to establish it you want to talk about? The fact that you're published and so there's nothing in hiding that you want to talk about. So it was a lot. You felt like you were under camera view for every single action, right? In terms of cultural differences, right? In terms of maybe, you know, policies and, you know, different kind of operations, what are the things you had to learn?
So I think, well, Dubai and the UAE are a bit different. When you consider the fact that over 80% of the population here is made up of foreigners, entire population of the UAE, maybe about 10% plus is the actual Emiratis and the citizens. Okay. And the rest of us are foreigners. You've got people from 200 nationalities. So I wouldn't say there's one dominating culture.
Okay.
And because Dubai in particular is very open to business, you know, right now they're in that Dubai business, you know, so there's, and the government does so well in trying to make things very simple and very easy, very straightforward. Right. The way they digitized a lot of things, it's amazing. So it's now left to you. And they have their own, like, you've got to renew your company license every year.
Right, okay.
And it's not jokes. It's not even more money. So you want to do business? You're welcome. Just know that these are the processes. You renew your license every year. You do this, you do that. And then you go figure out your business. And
you sort that out.
I think culturally, I wouldn't say I had any struggle or like the law, you know, it's just what it is. So it's not like the UK where you just want to sit down, maybe you, whatever paper you've got, maybe you're covered for 5 years, 10 years. Here, you renew your visa every 2 years or every three years, except you have like a golden visa that now covers you for like 10 years. So it's that you have to go back and renew your residency again.
Yeah.
But those were challenges. I felt like, you know, when they say, which animal is somebody, like, is it spirit animal, they call it? And I think if you look at that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, you know, so if they said, which city represents your spirit? I think Dubai. I think you know, it's that city that never sleeps kind of vibe. It's possible kind of vibe. It is whatever you want to think of, find a way to plug in and make it work.
Right.
It's an open field. It's still a place where it's still growing. It's still, there's so much that is still possible. It's that place where you see which idea can we bring from Nigeria here? That kind of thing. There are a lot of communities because of the nationality. So Chinese people have their community, Nigerians have their community. It's like, if you wonder who can make one idea now, that's a business. It's actually, but it's that place where you can look at the community and say, what do we miss from home? How can we plug in? So I feel like the energy of the city really matches mine.
Right.
So for me, it's not, I don't see it as challenges or anything. I just see it as, if Dubai is leveling up to 100 level, Mayawa, don't sleep. What are you doing? So yeah, that's it for me.
Right. I mean, I like that. And I was going to say, I think part of my own story and journey was essential because it wasn't as if I had known what to expect when I, you know, got over here. It was as though I was doing a good deed as a good husband, trying to make sure that my wife had a good life. And then I figured I'll figure out myself. And then I get here and find out that I was not going to figure out myself because the universe had other plans. And then I realized that I needed to get a vision for what I wanted to do with my life. Right.
How was that?
That was pretty, I think it was necessary, is what I'll say. Because if that never happened, I could have been doing other things right now. And I know that in doing those other things, I will probably have found frustration easily. You know, and so yes, how was that? I think it was necessary. I think it was about time. I think I'd grown up just feeling very wise, you know. I'd always felt like I was intelligent, smart, and all of that till I started learning that I'd stopped learning. So this was me coming to terms with the idea that I'd actually stopped learning. I was coasting through what I did, and I was doing it as best as I could. But in terms of relevance to life, contributions to life, you know, the capacity to be able to impact and influence life and others, I had stopped learning. And so that was a necessary stop for my life. It was going to move further from where it used to be to where it's headed now, right? And I say that bringing up the idea of having a vision, I mean, I'm going to bring up, because I saw your conference, that struck me. Because of course, I know that of course, Dubai is a conference center, conferencing is held in Dubai and all of that. But I was really fascinated by, especially even the theme of the conference, right? Road to Success. And I understand that that has its definitions for different people, you know, and I, you know, if anything, I love and hate conferences about the same measure. Why? Why? Because, you know, part of what used to frustrate me about conferences back in the day is the fact that you find that sometimes it's the same set of people that go to a conference in this year that end up going there next year, and they are looking forward to the one that hasn't even been planned. And in my mind, I'm like, if that conference's goal was to solve your problem, why are you still free enough or available or able to go for the next one that is pretty much speaking at the same things. And so for me, I've had my own bias around conferences, especially if it's not transforming lives. I think my exposure got me to the point where I realized what transforming lives actually looks like and what the demands from whoever the source of transformation is would be, right? And so when I saw that and just, you know, seeing and hearing the success stories, I was fascinated knowing that, you know, somebody actually went to a new place, made this decision to not go it alone and get other people on board and say, you know what, we all can thrive here. You know, I've seen something everybody should see. I'm speaking to that because I know that that maybe couldn't just have happened if there was no vision around that. You want to talk me through, how did that come about? How did you get to that point where, yes, that was something to do?
You know, so I was telling you that I also started a podcast, and it's called Road to Success Podcast.
Right.
And we've been filming back to back for season one. It's been, and it's also part of like the promotion for the event, which is coming up in October. And I had to share this story again. And honestly, it wasn't planned.
Right.
I landed in Dubai. I didn't have any plan to do any event or bring people together. I was just facing my journalist work. Right. But in doing the journalist work, I also have to acknowledge the fact that I've always had a heart for bringing people together.
Okay.
A heart for sort of imparting knowledge. I tried it once back in Nigeria. I did one event, which was targeting younger people in media.
Okay.
And then the mindset behind it was, there's so much that I wish I knew before I started my media career.
Mm.
So much that I'd clocked it a number of years, but I felt like I wish that I'd known a bunch of things. I wish I'd had people who had gone ahead of me to speak to and hear from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Learn from them. And so, you know, the information you have determines how far you go, how fast you go.
Right.
And because I have a heart for people, I said, you know what? How about I do something that helps others?
Mm.
And that's what happened that I had. But it was a one-time thing. I never did it again for some reasons that we will not disclose yet. Coming to Dubai and sort of just gaining new wings in terms of my employment status. And now I was more in control in that regard. And it's right. Like, you know, I can do anything I want. But even though it didn't start, the idea didn't come. The idea came from me being a journalist, seeing that there was a gap in the community. Remember I mentioned about community, and you hear a lot of young Nigerians who had come to Dubai saying, oh, this place is not good for me, it's not working, and all that. They don't like us, oh, I'm black, you know, all sorts. That they like. But I know a bunch of people who are doing great things here, who are living it up here. And I can say, why don't we have a platform where people can meet? Why is there no platform where people can learn? So everybody, and this is how I like to say, everybody left Nigeria, if you're Nigerian. We all left Nigeria if you come here to make it, period. Whether it's business, career, whatever. We all left home, moved here to make it.
Yeah.
Don't we have a platform where people can learn from others who have gone ahead? Those who have been here longer, who have accomplished one or two things. There should be a platform where we can learn from them. We can all run. And I talked about that for like a year. You know, I want to do something. I want to have this. You know, it didn't have a name at the time. And it's funny, even I can't remember how I came up with Road to Success, unfortunately. My memory just wiped it. Right? But ultimately, I talked about it for so long. It got to a point I said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I, for one, don't like just chewing my mouth on one thing. If there's a problem, figure out the solution and fall in place.
Get it done, right?
Just firm and enjoy the situation. Don't complain. I don't like just saying things over and over again. And then I just got to the point, you know, I'm just going to do something about it. I can do something about it. I had a growing personal brand. People knew me. I had access to different people in, you know, key personalities in the community. My social was growing as well. I feel like, oh, okay, if I call people, who will show up? And I have a gift, actually. Mm. I feel like, oh, if I say, guys, let's do this, people show up. And that's how we put the first one together.
Right. We have,
in total, 105 people in the room.
Oh, that's massive, though.
For the first edition. And right. It was amazing. Like, people didn't want it to end. You know, when people was like, oh, you didn't give us enough time to, you know that? And with the success of it, the impact that it made, I knew I was stuck with this. I couldn't do this and just leave it and move on.
Right.
And I've been building it and it's been growing and growing. And, you know, it's just been amazing. Mm. So that's how that happened. But right. The power of vision, power of setting your mind to do something and seeing it through, the power of believing that you can do something. Right. Like, oh, what you see is literally what you experience.
Absolutely.
What you see is what you experience. So it is for me to do this, but I'm not going to be small. I'm going to, you know, I know backstory. One of the things that before I moved in, I mean, I was already engaged. We were planning the wedding. I knew I was moving in. And I was in that season of preparing, praying. And it was one thing I wanted to avoid at all costs. It was being on TV. You know, all those TV girls, we know them, we see them. The moment they get married, they've disappeared from the radar.
Right.
I don't see why marriage should make you disappear from the radar. Mm. Mm. For me, it was, no. And it wasn't like I knew that I was coming here and I was still for sure going to continue TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that whatever I was going to do, you're going to see me.
Right.
Be on that radar. But so it's the audacity of believing in more for yourself.
Yeah.
That has helped. That has so helped. Do I do it afraid? Do I sometimes feel like I'm going to tear my hair out? Like, oh my God, we're doing this again. Are people going to come? Oh, oh yeah. But are we going to go ahead? Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's how we just keep moving. And just knowing that our stories are not ours. As I always say, my life really is God that is writing it. It's a script that God is writing. But I go into stuff with confidence that I'm not alone.
Right.
Hey, please, Q, I walk with God the Father.
Yeah.
Confidence, knowing that there's nothing I put my heart to and my mind that God is not going to back me up.
Yeah. I mean, I like how you beautifully expressed that, you know, because... And I'm taking it from where you started, the idea that people would accept that life is hard for them, you know, whether it's the experiences they're having or reality itself, right? I mean, in reality, life is hard. But, you know, like I said, it depends on who's talking. And when you come to the place where you accept it, that only shows you one thing, the state of your own interpretation. Which of course shows you the state of your thoughts or your knowledge base or what it is that you know or don't know, because you would not be accepting something that you don't believe or you are not experiencing. So if you're experiencing it and you're accepting it, then it shows what you know, largely, meaning there's something to know. And I like the fact that you consider there are several people doing life totally differently from this kind of complaints. And let's bring them together. Because for me, I think one of the major, major challenges I saw was the limited mindset of people that move over. Settling for things that they would normally or naturally not settle for back home. You know, they just come and just decide, you know what? And then, you know, I could analyze it easily and say, because now you're out of sight of people that know you directly, you feel like you are hidden, like you are invisible. So you can do things that are, you know, that are menial, things that are not in any way. Consider it based on maybe reputation basis now. And that's not how I would say you consider work. I say consider work in terms of contributions, right? But if you look at it in line with capacity for contribution, you already understand when you've gone lesser than your capacity for contribution. And you sit there because of the pay you receive from it, but also justifying the idea that there is no one really seeing you doing it. Because if eyes were on you, like back at home, you wouldn't do it. Meaning there's a misalignment between how you are thinking and feeling and what you are doing. Once a person lives like that, you can never live a life of peace and balance. You will consistently be in incongruence, expressing all forms of intrusive thought, negative thinking, criticism, self-judgment, things that are not appropriate for the human mind, just because of that singular misalignment between what you think you should be and what you're actually doing. And I like that you'd say, you know what, me, I would succeed here. And the fact that we're not even our own person. I think it's easy to miss the point that you didn't create yourself, first of all. And before you were created, things were already written about you. You're just supposed to come and play the part. And then you come here and act like there's no written script. But just because you don't know does not mean there's no script. And these things are things that are easy to know. But I would say that in all my years of intelligence, I'd only started finding out these things when I sat to self-discovery. I realized that a huge part of self-leadership that was lacking in me was affecting a lot of the things that I could do and a lot of things I could become. And I think just coming to that consciousness changed everything. Like, I believe it to change for anyone, which is, of course, why I would sit and do the job that I do, make sure that people see these things differently so that they can chart a course that is much better than what they think they have to. I'm planning a conference for next year, Rebirth. And Rebirth is simply supposed to, it's just like being born again. You get the idea. Yeah, that's that transformation from whatever life is holding you bound to the one you actually were given, to the one you actually should live, right? Because I believe imputed in all of us is that one thing, multiple things, if you may, that should give us the recognition and contribution. And it doesn't matter what it is. It might be as simple as helping other people have a better life. It might be as simple as helping an economy stabilize. It might be as simple as helping, you know, people that are sick get well. Whatever your own is, there is something imputed in everyone that is relevant for contribution globally, you know, socially, locally. But if they deploy it, they would feel the sense of meaning and fulfillment in their life. So the loss of that anytime where you begin to live as though you are slaving or as though you're just working to make ends meet, it means that there's something you are missing. You know, the sense of who you are and the assignment you've been given to deliver. And for me, I think that discovery is essential for anyone to find stability in their life. Mm-hmm. Right? It's essential for anyone. Right. I mean, I like what you said and what you said about even associations. I was going to talk about that. Because when I came here, I think the first error I've made was to listen to people that didn't actually know what they were saying. So I had people that told me things like, don't bother about project management. You'll waste your money if you try to do that. Don't bother about starting a business. The system is really rigorous. Just get a job. And when they said get a job, if somebody says don't bother about project management, because of course, my work was primary project. If somebody says don't bother about project management, and the person says don't bother about starting a business, and they say get a job, what job do you think they're talking about? It was a menial job. Do you see? Like, that was what was told me. Like, just get a job. Like, so literally, settle for that and just start earning money. Like, that was the advice. Just start earning. Why? Because bills are not going to stop from the first day you get in. And I get that. And that's supposed to be the reality. Of course, in Nigeria, we've been spoiled with you pay your rent for 1 year. And then the next 12 months, you don't have to think about that. Sometimes you might even have paid 2 years upfront, you know. But here in the UK, you pay bills per month. So if you are really broke, you know every month. Oh, yeah. There's no 12-month space for you to find out. You know every month if you're broke. So that was, at a level, good advice. Don't be stranded. Make sure you're making money. But at what cost?
Mm.
I understand that some people would not even have the opportunity to So let's say like yourself now, you still went ahead with journalism, right? I imagine some people would not have that opportunity, because if like me, you come in and you're going to set up a business and automatically you find out that you can't because the situation of the world has changed. And now you have to rediscover yourself or reinvent yourself or recreate something. And you get stuck there. What do you do? Now, I want you to speak to that, you know, like speaking to someone that just finds himself in that stuck place, because I mean, I can speak to it from my own experience, but I understand that from the point of counsel and wisdom too, you can speak to it, right? And so if someone just gets to that point where they say, you know what, I'm actually not sure what to do with myself. I've moved quite all right. I've tried my best to get things done. It doesn't seem like it's working. What would you tell that person to do?
You see, let me speak very quickly to, you know, the quote unquote good advice that people give.
Yeah.
As you said, it is in a sense good advice because bills don't play, and we know this, especially when maybe your own 1 month rent is what you pay in Nigeria for 1 year.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I honor people who do whatever they need to do within legal, you know, bounds to provide for their family, put food on the table. There's dignity in labor. So let's put that out there. But as you see, is that really where you should be? Is that really what you should be doing? I think that what they don't realize is even to win, sometimes you win afraid.
Right.
Like the, you get.
Right.
One I had on my podcast today, Christian, a German guy, speaks multiple languages, basically works with Dubai Tourism. He's a career coach. And we're talking about, it's a decision.
Yeah.
More of it, you just have to decide and say, this is the path I'm taking.
Yeah.
But this path that seems impossible, this, I don't see how many people are making it here, but I've decided that that's where I'm going to, you know, pitch my tent. And it doesn't mean that everything's just going to fall in place. There's still a lot of trade. There's still a lot of figuring it out. Even after, like, even now that Road to Success is a known brand here, people respect it, what we've done. Each and every time, I still have to do it afraid. I still have to, oh my God, we're doing this again. Hey,
yeah.
You have to show up. Are they going to pay a ticket too pricey? I would rather be growing in that light. I'd rather grow that way. So at the core of it, it's a decision. And then one thing that helps me, as I said before, is I just go back to my source. I go back to, I didn't bring myself this far.
Yeah.
I go back to everything else that I had done before that actually worked. And I strength and inspiration from there. Say, oh, I did it afraid the last time and it worked. And if for any reason something doesn't work, then that's lesson learned. That's not failure.
Absolutely.
But I have just decided that in this my life, you see that forward, upwards, that's where I'm facing. Whatever it takes, that's where I'll keep facing. So I think ultimately it's first making the decision. At that time, you do something that is sort of less than what you want to do. So for instance, I MC events.
Right.
I have a price. And I decided these are the, you know, a certain kind of events, high ticket events, conference, high ticket conference. That's what I want to do. Are there times where I've accepted less than my usual price? Between you and I. To let them know. Do you understand?
Right.
You know what? This month I need to make up. I need to get a few bucks in. Okay, I'll do it. You know, I look at other parameters. Okay, does it align? Okay, I'll do it. No worries. Let's go. So you ultimately you always have to this. And there are times when I've decided and said no, even if I'm broke as hell that month, even though that month there was an event that somebody called me for. Just few days to the event, They're hosting it in this luxurious place on the Palm. It's going to be all the ambassadors of a certain continent that are going to be there. Mm. It was like the who is the creme de la creme that are going to be there. Yeah. Anyway, as far as I'm concerned, offer me peanuts.
Mm.
Somebody else, it's a lot of money, but for me, that was peanuts. And I decided, I said, I'm not going to do it.
Right.
Easily say, you know what, all these big people, the optics will look good. And I could decide and say, I'm doing it for the optics. Right? Decided, no, I'm going to make up, dress up, stand in front of you guys and talk and use my brain and deliver an excellent job. I just decided, I'm not, today is not the day. That was a decision. Was I broke that month? Yes. Could I have used that money? Yes. Did I die when I did not do it? No.
Mm. Yeah.
Ultimately, it's always going to be a decision. And at the another important thing is, see, if you don't know yourself, if you're not strong in your core, your journey is far.
Yeah.
That's always the first point. Like, what is your conviction? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe about life? What do you believe about the country you're in? What do you believe about the situations that happen to you? If anything bad happens to you, do you see the silver lining? I stumbled on a few, just maybe last week or 2 weeks ago, I was just having one of those rare, finally got into my Bible moments. Mm. And I came across this scripture. I don't have my book out of it. It was so powerful. And the way I interpreted it was silver lining.
Mm.
When quote unquote bad things happen, when life is not turning out the way, do you see a silver? I saw it in the scripture that is scriptural to see a silver lining.
Mm.
If you cannot see a silver lining, then that's a huge problem already, because life will overwhelm you. Every project that didn't go as planned will overwhelm you. Every interview that didn't go as planned will overwhelm you. Anything that just didn't go fantastically well, it will overwhelm you, it will drag you down, you'll be depressed, you feel like, hey, that's the end. You question yourself, always the lining. In any crazy thing that's going on, there's always something to say, oh, that was okay.
Mm.
And you've got to be able to love yourself. You've got to see that tomorrow will be better. Today wasn't so great, it'll be better. If you're not able to do those things, you just get stuck. You never really see the way forward. And then you set for the most comfortable zone, and then you hate yourself for doing that.
Right.
I think my ultimate charge is, see, nobody has any handbook of the future. Nobody knows that Tesla is going to make a lot of money next month, and I don't even know if that's a prophecy. We all risk, believe, or find the silver lining. But we just face this one side that we say, is it forward? That's where we're going. Everybody, let's go.
Right. Absolutely love that, because, you know, when you said there's sometimes you have to do what you have to do. And I remember that there were those beginning moments where I knew that there were the realities of doing what I had to do. But I think because I had started to chart a course with a vision and I had a sense of where I was going, I never had any day without my ears plugged, regardless of what I was doing, plugged with the messages for where I was going. So my mind stayed lit with light about the vision until I created it, right? And the period when I knew that there was nothing else to do on the outside apart from what I wanted to set up for myself, there was nothing that could stop it. I know the sense of doing it afraid, but I also know that there are points when you have actually built capacity, you've actually built competence and confidence, not because you never feared, but because you spent time reinforcing the foundation and now you can stand. Like, that story remains formidable because, yes, I saw, you know, I respect when people say things like, I built myself. Now, because I know differently, I wouldn't say that, right? Because I believe that under God, I built this person. You know, where the way that I interpret issues totally changed. The way that I would behave totally changed. And when you're speaking, I know that many of the disruptions people face is just because the mindset and beliefs that run the person or run the body are not appropriate. if that is set right, a lot of things can be set right. If you just start to see through the right lenses, the lenses of who you are, first of all, like you said, the lenses of what you're capable of, you know, the lenses of, you know, where you're headed. If you start to see through those right lenses, everything is sorted. Everything is sorted. And nothing is impossible once you believe.
Absolutely. Listen, anybody that is making it in this life, they don't have 2 names.
Right.
They don't also have the cheat code. Nobody has all the answers. It's right. All preparing, doing your bit, trusting God. Some people will say universe, good luck to them. Right. Whatever it is that you've got, do your bit and trust that source will help it align. Time. Sometimes our test in life is different.
Yeah.
Some people's test will be 1 month. Some others' test is 2 months. Some others is 2 years. Some others is 5 years.
Yeah.
But just know that whoever is at the level where you want to be, they also never had all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. We just have it in terms of work, connection, network, excellence, diligence, discipline, empathy, whatever work, you know, you have to do.
Yeah.
Watch everything play out. And believe ultimately.
Right. It was lovely talking to you about this. I hope that this is inspiring for somebody that listens. And particularly for me, I think I'll just summarize with saying that get the vision if you can, get values and virtues that will guide the vision and keep going. Ultimately, if you keep going with the appropriate level of strength, you get to where you need to get to in time.
100%.
Thank you, Maya. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.